listening to the Pharmacy Podcast Network. Ural Pharma, an innovative player in the U.S. generics marketplace, has partnered with the Pharmacy Podcast Network to educate and build a network of pharmacists about non-scheduled, non-controlled prescription alternatives for pain management. We encourage feedback in establishing new connections with pharmacy care providers. Learn more at uralpharma.com. That's Y-A-R-A-L pharma.com.
Hey, we are back. I'm telling you what, we are excited to be attracting some of the more innovative companies, partnering with community pharmacy, long-term care pharmacy, specialty even, and concentrating on disease state, concentrating on supplements. We're getting a lot of feedback on cannabis, THC, kratom, different things like that. Today, we are back talking with Ural Pharma. And if you remember from the first episode when we really previewed Steve Beckman, he is back. We are back. We are back in the studio, Steve. It's great to have you here. Go Brownsville. It's just, we're Brownsville guys, so I'm excited to say that.
But absolutely. It's great to be here. What you guys are doing here at the Pharmacy Podcast Network is pretty amazing. And as I said on the last episode, the importance that the community pharmacist plays, the pharmacies and pharmacists in general, I think are the most critical now for so many people. So we want to do our part to be collaborative with this community and make sure that at the end of the day, the patients get the outcomes that they can get.
Absolutely. We're driving everything with education. That's why Ural is so important to us, because we know that pain specifically is a real burden for so many people out there. And then we're also thinking where I get excited is the pharmacist who likes to dig into polypharmacy situations where you can say, hey, listen, this substance in this substance are going to cause some issues. Maybe we look at another solution. Maybe it's a topical, maybe it's a patch, maybe it's something like that. So in your first episode, we kind of laid the groundwork about what Ural was doing, enter into the generics market. But just in case listeners, by the way, there's a link in our show notes that will take you to Steve's first episode. If you didn't catch the first episode, just give our listeners just a quick update about Ural.
Yeah, so as we mentioned, Ural is the U.S. generic arm of IPSA-CH, and we are introduced our first products in January of 23. So we're a new organization, and what we're really focused on is bringing more complex products. And when I say complex products, we're talking about products that could be drug device combinations, ones that are difficult to manufacture, products that are difficult to formulate, maybe even products that have limited API in terms of really looking at downstream and how we create products that add value. And we're also going to do that through two core pillars. One is our therapeutic focus, which is fairly broad. There's about 10 therapeutic areas that we are focusing in, and obviously pain and inflammation is one, endocrinology and so forth. But also our technologies. We have, as an organization, have historically been around since 1945, and we have really built a leadership position in some areas such as soft gel capsules, topical patches, injectables. So, and that kind of dovetails back to complex products. And that could even range into trying to find solutions to improve products, especially where there is drug shortage and things like that. So really, it's focus on addressing products and building a portfolio over time that's really going to add options for the pharmacists and physicians to better manage and treat their patients.
Yep. And the whole key right now that we're seeing in pharmacy and pharmaceutical delivery is personalization and mm-hmm. the ability for a physician and pharmacist to work together to really dial into what a patient is going through and how to best serve them. So today's episode, the key word today is innovation. And how has Ural taken measures years ago, investments, infrastructure, to become this innovative manufacturer? So I kind of want to dive into that as a focal point.
Yeah, so innovation, I think, is a broad term, and how we apply it within our business, because we really need to innovate as a supplier to the marketplace. As we all know, as an industry, our foundation was about innovation in terms of product. And I think that's really been the pedigree of Ipsa CH. They've taken an approach since day one to take products and opportunities and making them better through innovation. So innovation in terms of looking at products and how a different form factor would benefit a patient, or changing a formulation that would provide a better efficacy safety profile, any of those type of initiatives around innovation. And then we have to start applying that in terms of how we as an organization then engage with the community, from our direct customers down to the patient. And that's what's really exciting about what our organization done and what they have done for over almost 50 years, over 50 years. So that's what we're going to continue to focus on. And I think the products that we have launched, both from a brand and a generic, represent that. So one of the most important things that we want to share is that the company is continually committed towards bringing these type of products. We're never going to be one of the largest companies in the world out there. We're not going to have a portfolio of thousands of products, but what we really want to do is focus on, like I like to say, in the generic world, we historically have built the generic industry on having the most marbles. Mm-hmm. Most marbles won. Big companies, yeah, like Viatris or Teva. And obviously those companies have contributed well to the outcome in healthcare. But now, as we look now, it's really moving from the most marbles to the right marbles. Yes. And that's what's important. And I think that mentality is what's driving IPSA, which drives us down through IPSA USA, our brand organization, as well as URAL, is to think more critically about that. And so when we're looking at portfolio selection, are we actually doing something that's going to create value, not only for us, because obviously we have to make money to continue to invest, but really value down to the patient level. And that's where example of having the option, as you said, innovation and option for having a topical patch to treat acute pain.
Yep.
Versus other mediums. Some of them don't work. So different form factors are favorable for some patients because they like them or they use them well or whatever reason. So those are the type of things we want to do. And then if you take a product like Levo Caps, we're taking a product that has traditionally been supplied to the market in a tablet form and putting in a capsule form. And as a result of that, that creates some, you know, patient benefit, and that then gives an option. So no product out there serves 100% of the population, right?
Exactly.
So what we're thinking in innovation is how we are looking at, let's say, the population of X and saying, what are the subpopulations in there? And where does our product fit to address that 15% or 20% of that population that would be better served on that alternative opportunity? So that's what's going on. And you made a really important point about patients and their trade-offs, because there's no patient out there that doesn't have some level of comorbidity. And we constantly want to know how their overall health management, regardless of specific indication or not, is handled. And having those alternatives and options and innovation thinking in that way is what we are continuing to do. In fact, some of the work that we're doing in our own portfolio development now is really asking questions in a different way than maybe we traditionally have done, mm-hmm, to find new ways to approach how we look at programs that we want to put into our development.
Yep. I think, and pharmacists listening right now are going to understand this, the dosage, the substance, important. But guess what else is important? The administration, mm-hmm, and the choice of administration. So the soft capsule comes out in, I think, 1930. Something making it easier to swallow. Then we're talking about topicals that have a hydrogel on them that actually make it easier to absorb into the skin. We have to give our pharmacists, who are focused and dialing into patients, options, because they know that their patient may not like that administration versus another way of getting that substance into their blood and of course making it work for them. Talk to us a little bit about delivery mechanisms.
Yeah, I mean, you're very correct in the fact that, you know, when we look at treating a patient, there's a reason why we have different form factors. Yep. We now in the industry, we're seeing products that were in one form factor being put in another. Nasal preparations, for example, is we're seeing a lot of products as a potential being redeveloped into that kind of technology platform. So I'll go back to the Levo capsule example. in that particular space where the population is taking levothyroxine. The majority of them use tablets, and tablets have been around for a long time, and they work really well for most people, right?
Yep.
There are some people that can't tolerate certain form factors or so forth, and as a result, there are patients that might not be remaining compliant on that particular form factor for whatever reason. And this is a capsule, because we don't have some of the same product profile to it, might be a great solution for that portion of the population. In the case of levothyroxine, about 10 to 15% struggle with some level of tolerability with tablets, GI tract tolerability, where we don't see the same issue per se with a capsule. So again, it's not that it should be for everyone. It should be for the right patient. And that's what really it's about. Is the messaging here is about the continuing to enhance the education, as you said, and knowledge and exchange between healthcare professionals on what are the options available for the patient. And our job is to make sure that they're aware of them. And that's why we're here today, is really to make sure that, you know, when they're struggling with a patient that they know. And that's what the whole thing about the pharmacist, right? Because the pharmacist, I would guess, probably knows that before anybody else, right? Because they know that a patient's not refilling their prescription, or the patient is coming in and talking to them about some of their challenges. And that's what's so important, is that dialogue back between patient to pharmacist, pharmacist to physician. And through that dialogue and that circular conversation, that patient ultimately could have the opportunity to maybe make some adjustments, or physician make some adjustments on behalf of the patient, and maybe there would be a better outcome. Because at the end of the day, that's what we want. We want to be able to increase awareness and education so that the best decisions can be made and the patient is compliant and the patient gets the outcome that the medicine is supposed to provide as part of their treatment regimen.
Yep. Excellent. So let's talk about the topical patches for just a second. And it's, to me, that's something that I understood, because my dad used patches for years for his lower back and he loved it. He absolutely loved it. Tried some other things, didn't work. So for acute pain management, compared to traditional delivery methods, how does Ural kind of stand out?
Well, you know, Ural has had a strong pedigree in this space with this particular type of form factor in terms of topical patches. And with the technology that we have and that we develop our products around, we've had a good track record in terms of, you know, those products being effective, meaning two very simple things. One is adhesion to the skin, right? If the patch doesn't adhere to the skin, then that kind of defeats the purpose. And the second then is that we don't have other issues like crystallization. So the whole idea is that the topical patch is a very effective form factor to deliver medication. And we are a leader in that in a number of areas in developing current products as well as future products. And some patients prefer that, right? And what's interesting then, what I've learned a lot over the years is that you have to take into account, to your earlier point about the qualitative nature of that prescribing health outcome that they're trying to achieve, and with the patient, because certain patients from basic person nationalities might not be comfortable with taking oral medications.
Yep.
And sometimes we need to make sure we keep full sight of all that. So some patients can't swallow. Some patients don't believe in taking systemic drugs. Some patients might not like the texture or applying maybe a cream or gel. So the whole point here is that they have to have the option that works for them. And that's what is important. And that's why we're very excited that we can say that we can be a part of that solution. And, you know, whether it's pain management or anything else, it's not going to work if they don't use it.
Yep.
And so that's why we're really excited where, you know, the patch technology can come in and be the right solution for those patients where that form factor makes the most sense, because ultimately we want to manage their acute pain through the products that we market in a way that will allow them to overcome why they're managing that acute pain and get on with their quality of their life.
There's always a sensitivity, especially today after the pandemic. Before the pandemic, the biggest thing in the news from an issue was opioid use disorder. And then, of course, the pandemic came and everybody focused on that, obviously. But now we're coming back and people are starting to come back and saying, hey, we want to deliver pain options that are non-opioid, mm-hmm. that give us options and combos. There's physician pain specialist and pharmacist pain specialist. On our next episode, we'll actually have one with us, the one and only Dr. Mark Garofoli, who's known as the pain guy. He's actually even trademarked the
pain guy. Looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah. But we have to give the options of connecting things in. So I want to kind of focus on that mess-free, the localized absorption, the active ingredients, and the technology and innovation of what Ural's doing with your patches.
Yeah. So, you know, I should have mentioned the prior question. I mean, one of the advantages of it in pain management that our products offer is target specific, right? And surely us as an organization, we will never suggest any kind of, therapeutic treatment. That's what the professionals do. But the benefit of what we're talking about here with like a patch is that in certain pain scenarios, patients need systemic pain control. And there's different levels of pain. But, the bottom line, the message of this product and the products that we do market in this particular space is because it can be site specific. And if you can be site specific and manage it, then you're minimizing. And I'm sure the pain guy will have a lot of insights on how to manage pain. But, I think in general, we'd love to be able to manage pain it's kind of like when we develop drugs. The mantra in developing drugs is always being able to treat the outcome at the lowest effective dose.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So I kind of think of it in the same way as topical patches where, a topical patch, if that's the right solution, can be used locally and be able to deliver that management in a way that doesn't have to go beyond what is necessary. And I think that's one of the big advantages of the topical patches.
Excellent. So for our listeners, I'm excited to talk about this because I haven't heard about this before, which is when we knew we were doing this recording today. One of the questions I wanted to ask you is there's a technology called, it's very unique. It's called PearlTech technology. It's used to make soft gels. What's the benefit when I think of that? What's the benefit of this technology delivered by Ural Pharma?
Well, the PearlTech technology is really a pretty amazing stuff because, the first thing is I think when people think of gel caps, they might think of it as something as simple as a tablet or capsule, but actually it's a little bit more sophisticated when you learn that it's just not something that's easy to make. And I think one of the benefits, other multiple benefits of the PearlTech technology, but one of it is a high dosing precision and the oral bioavailability of the product is also an excellent dissolution profile. So again, how it gets absorbed in, regardless of the pH of the product, its ease of oral administration. You made the point earlier. Tablets can be big, small, chalky, less. This is something that's easy to swallow.
I take a vitamin C every day, and it's this gargantuan hard tablet. I hate it. Versus my gel cap that is super smooth.
Yep.
It's a vitamin E and different, the night and day, two difference.
So easy to swallow,
yeah,
according to what you're saying. But
exactly.
I think one of the things I think about gel caps in particular that are of advantageous to a lot of patients is that there is no taste to it, right? It has a neutral or flavorless. And, yep, a lot of tablets can have some kind of a taste to it based on the medication. So, we continue to try to advance, whether it's us or other companies, try to advance these technologies to make it easier to be absorbed into the body or easier to take and all those things. But I think really what's exciting about the PearlTech technology and gel caps in general is that for a lot of products, being able to put it in this form gives an alternative to a patient that's trying to take a certain type of medication but really struggles with it because that particular form factor, and probably in most cases tablets, they struggle with. So again, it's about ensuring and helping patients get the effect of medicine they're looking for, but also that they actually take it. Because at the end of the day, we all know that a physician can prescribe a patient medicine, and first question, do they get it filled?
Yep.
And then two, when they get it filled, are they taking it? And compliance is such a critical thing that, you know, that should be a part of the overall value proposition for those patients that struggle with it. You know, in the case of the Levo caps scenario or example, you know, if a patient is successful and doing well on tablets, there's no reason for them to change from tablets. Yeah. And I'll be the first one to say it. What we really are trying to say is that for those patients that do struggle, and it's kind of like matching up everybody right. Like, I would not look good in a paisley shirt. So maybe plaid works for me. So that's what I should be looking at. So I don't know if that's a silly example or not, but the point is that we now have the ability, if the knowledge is there, to be able to match up the medication on multiple different criteria to the situation at hand to ensure the greatest outcome. Yep. And I think that's what we're really excited about, a product like this.
Your commitment, I've talked to you so many times before, to innovation and to into technology and doing what's right is so evident. But I want to know about your vision in the future of pharmaceutical innovation and patient care. What's that community impact? How does this, when it trickles down, no matter how something's innovative or the technology, if it doesn't have that impact to our community, it's missing something. And there are companies out there that are like that, where if it's not massaged enough, it's not getting to the community.
You know, I'm going to go a little off kind of the generic script here that we kind of put together, because I want to show an example that I think speaks exactly to that question. And I didn't think about it when we were thinking about how to express. So we just recently did a program with Rutgers, with their MBA program. And the whole goal of the program was to take a look at what we've done and what we're kind of doing, and then have a completely independent perspective from a patient pharmacist level. In fact, what came out of the program that was so enlightening is that the group that we worked with, about 50% of the students were pharmacists.
Oh, cool.
it was amazing. We didn't know what the mix was, but they were all professional. All of them were working in the industry in some capacity, either in medicine, a pharmacist. We had a physician in the program, people in the industry. But what came out of it was, especially with the pharmacists, they gave us a perspective that we never really looked at with our drug development. It was looking at things around patient compliance. It was looking around where they see patients struggle most with the products that are available today.
Nice.
So we're actually taking that information and we are working that back through the organization, through our R&D, through everything, so that we can ask those questions. So I think the most important thing, you know, all companies can lose sight or lose focus or get lucky with a big product or not, but the problem is the core strategy in which we deploy our resources, effort to create these type of hopefully innovative, more complex products. And in this particular case, I'm not going to share exactly what they said because I want to take advantage of that insight, but there were some really, really unique ideas about how to make some things better that are causing some of the most challenges with patients. And that's the type of insight and innovation and thought process that we want to bring back. So at the end of the day, what's fantastically about this organization is that they've done everything organically. It's always been done from the right perspective, and that is creating greater value for the patient. And as a result, that over the decades, they've been able to really build into some areas of great strength, both therapeutically and from a drug delivery platform. And now I think the organization is doubling down on that kind of philosophy and opening their eyes, though, to always be thoughtful, creative, whatever the right word be, in terms of that kind of solution. So when you look at our portfolio, we believe that we're meeting the needs for those right portion of the patient population that would benefit from the products that we market.
I also want to say to the audience, if you're listening right now and you are a subject matter expert in senior care, if you're a subject matter expert in sports medicine, because we do have that on the Pharmacy Podcast Network with Dr. Hussein. If you're an expert in pain management, reach out to us. We have these resources. We have Steve and his team that are committed to your success. And really, they're committed to the patient's success through you. And having access to this kind of information through email, through connection, through white papers, through research, or whatever you need to empower you to help you with your patients. That's why we do this. I am not a pharmacist, not a physician, neither is Steve, but we rely on our scientists and our researchers and the developers and the manufacturer and all of the information that URAL has ready for you, the providers. So reach out to us and let us know, what do you need? Are we missing something? Or do you have something that you wish that you could hand out to a conference that you're saying, hey, we're going to be doing a conference on pain management, or we're going to be doing a conference on administration of specific medications? Reach out to us and we'll actually help you. That's another reason, Steve, that I'm excited that you're here, because you're a resource to our providers and listeners through Easy Consumption Podcast, or if they're watching us on YouTube or whatever that they're doing, so that they can be doing this kind of on the side if they're busy doing something else. But at least it's an information resource.
Todd, if I could, I just want to say two things to react to what you just said. The first one is about the word resource. I think traditionally, generic companies are not really seen as a potential resource to our broader healthcare community. And I would like to double down on what you said there and say, we would like to be that. We're trying to be a little bit different. I mean, the fact that our origins started just about a year ago allows us not to have any pedigree. You know, we're trying to look forward since we started the business, and how do we conduct ourselves as an organization in the best way possible? And part of that is our responsibility of education and resource. So if we could be a resource to anybody, we would surely do that. I think the other thing you said that was really important is when you talk about pain management, we're still searching to help understand the best way our products work in certain areas. So sports medicine, long-term care, based on different types of populations and so forth. You know, those are things that we hope to continue to learn and be educated. And we would be thrilled to have anybody in your network who has passion in those areas or knowledge in those areas that would share with us. Because if you talk to anybody that works at URAL, I have a couple mantras, but one is that knowledge capital has to be shared and continued in our efforts every day. So the more that we can raise our knowledge capital about really what's happening out, especially in some of those channels that maybe traditionally haven't been a focus, we would love to learn.
That's awesome. Well, we're excited about this, excited that URAL is committed to giving us and providing us with more information. By the way, you do not want to miss the next episode coming out from Pharmacy Podcast Network. We're going to have the pain guy here, Mark Garofoli. We're going to be talking about pain. And then listen, if we're missing something, if you want to participate in future podcasts on any of the subjects that we're talking about, please reach out to us. What's the best way to get a hold of you if someone wants to reach out to you? LinkedIn, email?
We're on LinkedIn. So we do have our URAL presence on LinkedIn. We also have our website, which is www.uralpharma.com.
Yep.
We also have a customer service number, which I honestly don't remember off the top of my head.
We'll put it in the shout outs.
You can definitely, we'll put it in the shout outs. And ultimately, we have a staff that will always be willing to take a call. If we can be of any assistance or we can learn. So please check us out on our website or check us out on LinkedIn. We try to be very active on both of those as a part of our core communication platform. And the team does a really nice job of keeping it current and up to date with everything that we're doing. So it's been a pleasure.
Awesome. We'll talk to you next time. Thanks so much for tuning in on all of the podcast platforms. Give us a rating. Make sure that if you're not subscribed, subscribe on your favorite platform. We thank you for listening to Pharmacy Podcast.
Diclofenac Epolamine Topical System 1.3% is a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. NSAID, used for acute pain from minor strains, sprains, and bruises in adults and children aged 6 and older. Serious side effects may include increased risk of cardiovascular and gastrointestinal events. NSAIDs can raise the risk of heart attack, stroke, gastrointestinal bleeding, ulceration, and perforation of the stomach and intestines, which can be fatal. The risk for serious cardiovascular events may occur early in the treatment and may increase with duration of use. Elderly patients and those with history of peptic ulcer disease or GI bleeding are at a higher risk for serious GI events. Do not use in patients who are allergic to diclofenac or any of its ingredients or have a history of asthma, urticaria, or other allergic type reactions after taking aspirin or other NSAIDs. Do not use in the setting of coronary artery bypass graft surgery. Avoid use on broken skin. Discontinue immediately if signs of hypersensitivity occur. Patients should be informed about the warning signs and symptoms of liver problems. Discontinue use if abnormal liver tests persist or worsen, or if signs of liver disease develop. Avoid using diclofenac topolamine topical system 1.3% in patients with severe heart failure unless the benefits are expected to outweigh the risks. The common side effects include itching, nausea, and headache. Patients should stop use and consult their doctor at the first sign of skin rash or other signs of sensitivity. Patients should ask their doctor if diclofenac topolamine topical system 1.3% is right for them. For more information and full prescribing information, including box warning and important safety information, visit www.uralpharma.com. Lidocaine patch 5% is indicated for relief of pain associated with postherpetic neuralgia, a common complication of shingles. It should only be applied to intact skin. Lidocaine patch 5% is contraindicated in patients with a known history of sensitivity to local anesthetics of the amide type or to any other component of the product. Cases of metema globinema, a rare blood disorder that affects how red blood cells deliver oxygen throughout the body, have been reported in association with local anesthetic use. It is important for patients to store and dispose of lidocaine patch 5% out of reach of children, pets, and others. Applying lidocaine patch 5% to larger areas for longer than recommended wearing time could result in increased absorption of lidocaine and high blood concentrations, leading to serious adverse effects. Patients should avoid contact with water, such as bathing, swimming, or showering. Reactions may occur at the site of application. These reactions are generally mild and resolve within a few minutes to hours. Allergic and severe allergic reactions associated with lidocaine, although rare, can occur. Patients with severe hepatic disease are at greater risk of developing toxic blood concentrations of lidocaine because of their inability to metabolize lidocaine normally. Advise patients to discontinue use immediately and seek immediate medical attention if the following signs or symptoms occur: pale, gray, or blue-colored skin, cyanosis, headache, rapid heart rate, shortness of breath, lightheadedness, or fatigue. Patients should ask their doctor if lidocaine patch 5% is right for them. For more information, including full prescribing information and important safety information, visit uralpharma.com. Levothyroxine sodium capsules are L-thyroxine T4 indicated for use in adults and pediatric patients 6 years and older with hypothyroidism. Levothyroxine sodium capsules can be used for pituitary thyrotropin, thyroid-stimulating hormone, TSH, suppression. Thyroid hormones, including levothyroxine sodium capsules, cannot be used for treatment of obesity or for weight loss. Doses beyond the range of daily hormonal requirements may produce serious or even life-threatening manifestations of toxicity. Levothyroxine sodium capsules are not indicated for suppression of benign thyroid nodules and non-toxic diffuse goiter in iodine-sufficient patients, or for the treatment of transient hypothyroidism during recovery phase of subacute thyroiditis. Levothyroxine sodium capsules are contraindicated in patients with uncorrected adrenal insufficiency. For elderly patients and those with underlying cardiovascular conditions, starting with a lower dose is recommended due to the heightened risk of cardiac adverse reactions, including atrial fibrillation. Oral thyroid hormone drugs should not be used to treat myxedema coma, and replacement glucocorticoids are necessary for patients with concomitant adrenal insufficiency before initiating levothyroxine sodium capsules. To prevent hyperthyroidism or for incomplete treatment of hypothyroidism, proper dose, titration, and careful monitoring are essential. Diabetic patients should carefully monitor glycemic control after starting, changing, or discontinuing thyroid hormone therapy, since glycemic control may worsen in diabetic patients. Decreased bone mineral density associated with thyroid hormone over replacement may occur. Adverse reactions associated with levothyroxine sodium capsules primarily reflect symptoms of hypothyroidism due to overdosage, including arrhythmias, heart attack, dyspnea, muscle spasms, headache, nervousness, irritability, insomnia, tremors, muscle weakness, increased appetite, weight loss, diarrhea, heart intolerance, menstrual irregularities, and skin rash. Patients should ask their doctors if levothyroxine sodium capsules are right for them. For more information and full prescribing information, including boxed warning and important safety information, visit www.uralpharma.com.